John F. Kennedy said that effort and courage are not enough without purpose and direction. But what is our purpose? Now, philosophers have pondered this for thousands of years, the meaning of life, the purpose of it all. I'm not here to claim that I know the meaning of life. You see, it's more about the meaning of our needs, the purpose behind our needs. Understand the purpose behind our needs, then we understand our purpose. And we can start to live it and meet our needs. If our needs drive our behaviour, there must be purpose behind them. A doctor called William Glasser, a psychiatrist, developer of reality therapy and choice theory, came up with a theory of these basic needs and the habits of communication. And when you look at them, they just make sense and they are simple to understand. So let's look at these needs again. Love and connection. The need for empowerment, to feel we're important to people, people listen to us, that we have an influence over our life. The need for freedom, the freedom to be ourselves, to have an equal share of power in a relationship. The need for fun, learning new things, experiencing new things. And the need for survival. Food, shelter, freedom from harm and our health. We can see these needs are more complex than the needs of other animals. But then again, this is why we are at the top of the food chain. We can see that the structure of these needs are more complex because we have a higher consciousness. A conscious choice as opposed to just basic animal instincts to survive. And with conscious choice comes responsibility. Some don't like the sound of that, but responsibility is just the ability to respond. The ability to make a choice, and we can all make choices. In fact, we make choices every moment of the day, not often the right ones. Survival, the basic of all needs. Every living thing has this basic need. Now it's suggested that mammals develop the need for love and belonging. They suckle the young, band together in groups. This gave mammals an increased level of survival. And of course, then the need for power came in. As you band in groups, the strong start to survive. The strong become the more dominant. And we can see this in the animal world with stags banging heads together and silverback gorillas banging the chest. Not too much different from the way some people behave today. So the strong started to dominate. The strong also dominated the mating game. They had a better chance of creating offspring. And of course, their offspring, being stronger, had a better chance of survival. The interesting thing about the development of a higher consciousness is the ability to analyse, assess, to think. Human beings were now a different species to everything else. We could now choose how to think. Of course, the strong were still dominating, and so freedom entered as a need. To be free of the power of others, to be free of their domination. Human beings began to spread across the world in conquest of others or for freedom from others, setting up groups that are more cooperative and democratic. And let's face it, that's what being human is all about. Cooperation, contribution. For the more advanced consciously, I suggest the need for power was tempered to a need for empowerment, which is more about recognition and having an influence over one's life, rather than having power over others. You see, a high need for power over others conflicts with the need for love and connection. It frustrates this need. Anyone who wants power over others must feel powerless themselves. The need for fun, to experience new things, to learn new things, also develop from basic play. The more we learned about love, empowerment and freedom, the more we could get. And again, the better our chances of survival and the survival of the human race. Now, these needs have developed to bring human beings together in cooperation and contribution for the benefit and continued propagation and survival of the species. It's a bit like a cell in the body. It's cooperation and contribution to the whole perpetuates life in the body. But if it begins to take more than it gives, it becomes cancerous and threatens the life of the body. The purpose of the needs is simple. Cooperation and contribution to the whole. If we look at our purpose, then it must be in the same vein. Cooperation, contribution. First to family and friends, then to a broader community, then to the whole of society. Through our cooperation and contribution, we ensure the survival of the species, and we also ensure that we meet our needs and the needs of others. If we look at the purpose of a business, it's to provide a positive service to society, and in doing so, being paid for this service. The basic purpose of a government would be to make sure that people have food, shelter, freedom from harm, a system of health care, and to protect the environment for future generations. The problems we see in society today, all around the world, is the failure of governments, businesses, and the individual to recognise our true purpose, contribution and cooperation. It often takes something like a devastating tsunami to wake people up and to help those less fortunate. We begin to feel love and compassion for our fellow man, to change our focus from what we can get to what we can give. Australia is a very lucky country in a way. It has developed a structure of volunteers in so many areas of the community. The whole sporting community sits on the shoulders of volunteers that are helping kids in sport. And the result? A country small in population compared to others, yet with a sporting record that is the envy of the world. You see, we have a responsibility to meet our needs, and in doing so, to meet the needs of others. If we are living with a purpose of contribution and cooperation, we can't help but meet our needs. So what stops us living with this purpose and meeting our needs? Thinking we can't be happy because we lack something. And this creates a want for more. More money, more possessions, more approval, more control, more security. We can't be happy if we're living with the fear of lack. It stops us being grateful for what we have. If we're continually thinking about what we have not. So many people fail to recognize the abundance that they've already got in their life now. Let's look back a few hundred years. The richest people in the world were probably the kings and queens of the day. But could they flick on a switch and have instant light? Press a button and see the latest news from around the world, the best entertainers, musicians and athletes perform. Could they jump out of bed each day and jump into a nice hot shower? Open a refrigerator door and have a nice cold drink? Could they pick up a phone and talk to a friend, a relative on the other side of the world? Could they search the internet and get information on just about anything? Or send an email letter across the world instantly? Could they walk into a supermarket, buy food from all over the world, or into a clothes store and have hundreds of choices to pick from? Could they travel halfway around the world in a day, or zip around in a car or a bus? Could they listen to their favourite music at any time they choose to? No, they couldn't do any of those things. And if they had a toothache, even if it was the Queen, it would be pulled out without anaesthetic. Limbs were removed without anaesthetic. What is considered a routine surgical procedure today was a life and death situation to them that would more than likely result in death. A disease or an infection that would kill 200 years ago, we take a pill or an injection for and don't think twice. We already have more than the richest people 200 years ago. We already have an abundance in our lives that we should be grateful for. We are already rich beyond the wildest dreams of our ancestors. We need to start to feel grateful for what we have. There's nothing wrong with expecting more, but you don't need to wait until you get it to feel good. Through your purpose of contribution and cooperation, what you give out comes back tenfold. Just expect it and be happy and be grateful for it. Be grateful for what you have. It frees you to live in the moment now. So what do you have to be grateful for right now? Is the health of a loved one more important than all the money in the world? Then be grateful if that person is healthy. And appreciate this because you're already wealthy. So how does purpose and gratitude apply to our everyday work? Working with a purpose and gratitude creates a positive culture in an organisation. Your work is your contribution to your community. The purpose of the business you work for is to provide a service to the community. If we can create a healthy culture and environment in a business that has its purpose, a service to the community, then when working with this purpose, we are meeting our needs and the needs of our community. If we have this in mind as a purpose for being at work, we will take more pride in our work and be more motivated. If your work is purposeful work and not just attendance for money, you'll find that you enjoy your work more. Many people don't like their job. They spend all day waiting for the time they can go home. If you spend a third of your day at work, you really want to make sure you're happy being there. If you hold in your mind your purpose is to give and the abundance that you already have in your life, you can be happy doing any type of work. And you will also be adding to a positive culture and environment at work. A successful person is a happy person. Happiness is true wealth. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Write it on your heart that every day is the best day of the year. And then go out and live it like it is."